Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
I made it.
Yes.
I made it.
You're here.
Yeah.
On your nice Sunday drive from Youngstown.
Yeah.
How was the turnpike?
It was uneventful this time. It was good.
Did you come by van or by chariot or by donkey?
Donkey.
Oh.
Donkey, yeah.
How long did it take? A week?
I'm going green. I want to go green, you know? No, I don't.
Yeah, well, the donkey. Yeah,
I did leave. I did leave on Monday morning. I think, yeah, so it's been a long journey.
Yeah, the donkey will make your carbon footprint smaller, but
oh boy, but man, when that thing doesn't want to move, I tell you what, it's
yeah, right? Wow.
Come on, giddy up.
Jeez,
please.
So here we are.
I don't know how Joseph and Mary did it.
It's so, look how many times you read in the scripture that they went up to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Or they talk about, you know, somebody in the Galilee. Oh, they went up to Jerusalem for the feast. And it makes it sound like, well, yeah, they just showed up in Jerusalem.
Yeah, they just got in the car and hopped over there.
100 miles of walking or riding the donkey or.
I mean, you would take your whole family. You had to carry all these provisions. That was a lot to. To make a journey.
You had to eat. You had to sleep. You couldn't do it in one day.
No.
And, you know, if you're there now and you have a rental car or you're on a tour bus, you know, you can leave Nazareth and about 2 hours later you can roll into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But at that time, you didn't roll into Jerusalem in 2 hours.
More like a couple of days.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Now, did they have rest stops along the turnpike there in Jerusalem? Or did they have rest stops?
You wonder, like, where they would just, like, stop and sleep.
Yeah.
Because it would take, I mean, I don't know how far you'd go on a donkey in one day, but.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you would go 50 miles on a day.
Probably have to pitch a tent and.
Yeah.
Sleep out and. Get up the next morning and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, how did we get to talking about that? Because you came from Youngstown.
my journey here from Youngstown, I started last Monday on the donkey, yeah.
Yeah, they all had smaller carbon footprints in those days.
Yeah, oh, much.
Yeah. It's interesting that when the ice ages ended and the earth warmed up, there were no cars or factories or anything. The earth just warmed up.
Yeah. It happened, you know, that's happened several times, you know.
Yeah, several times.
Without any influence from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched on history channels and stuff, there's a thing that was called the mini ice age, which I can't remember how it went now. It started like in the 1200s in Europe and didn't end till like the 16 or 1700s, but the climate got cooler.
Yeah.
And they couldn't grow some of the plants.
Right.
And they couldn't make wine, so they started making beer because the grapes weren't growing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, all these things happened. And then it was cool for a while, and then it got warmer.
Yeah.
But there were no cars, no factories. I mean, there were campfires and chimneys and stuff. But
yeah. You need refrigeration? You don't need refrigeration. There you go. Yeah. It's all nature takes care of itself.
And speaking of the modern world...
Yes.
And it's time to get serious because this is very serious business, what we're going to get into now, because I think the last few months, the Lord has really been, actually more than a few months, the Lord's been really dealing with us about, some people call it new evangelization. Mm-hmm. Some people call it the problem of evangelization. Some people say, well, the church needs to be more like the world, because after all, you know, time's gone by and things are different now than they were in biblical times. And maybe what God meant 2,000 years ago, he doesn't really still feel that way now, because after all, we've gotten with the times.
We've evolved.
We've evolved and
I'm enlightened.
The world is actually... Yeah, the world actually has a lot of good points, and we better get with it, because after all, we're killing ourselves trying to be more like the world.
The wisdom of man.
The wisdom of man.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things about, you know, we just talked about human solutions to the problems, and we used Peter as an example for I don't know how many weeks, but one of the things that
we got to use him every week.
Yeah, we just pretty much beat that to death.
Sorry, Peter.
Now I got more to answer for when I meet him. But anyway, now he won't care.
Just remind him of that 70x7 thing.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, he won't care. He's plenty happy now. He won't care what I said. He might say, "What are you doing here?" How'd you get in here?
Who let you in here? I snuck in when you were at the gate. Okay, let's get serious.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, anyway, he's not going to decide who gets in, but it's kind of a cute story. But anyway.
That's true.
One of the things we do, I think, as humans, and the whatever you want to call liberal, progressive type thinking, especially in our post-Christian era, mm-hmm. as it's called, gives the impression that we can make people better by controlling their behavior, saying you can do this, you can't do that. We want to like build up our self-esteem. We want to, you know, meditate on things. We want to be considerate of everyone. We want to be tolerant of everyone. Because after all, as you do these things, and some of those things are good to do, but as you do these things, we're going to make better people.
Yeah, better and, society, yeah.
Yeah, better society. We're going to be more enlightened, mm-hmm. and who needs God? Who needs religion? Who needs faith? Or as Karl Marx called it, the opiate of the masses.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And... my wife, who's a history teacher, always tells me that back in the slave days, when people started converting their slaves to Christianity, it was great because the thing was, well, your life's going to be miserable here, but then when you get to heaven, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So, you know, they kind of kept some of the slaves happy with thinking that way
because,
mm-hmm. you know, things are bad now, but eventually it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But we don't really understand that when you have Adam's nature, when we have our sin nature that we're born with and we carry it around until we die, we can try to become better people, but we can't produce a utopia where everyone is going to be righteous and just and holy and happy
yeah.
and pleasant. And you won't have to lock your doors anymore. And you won't have to lock your car anymore. And you can leave your money out on the, you know, counter and nobody's going to take it.
Right. No, that's, you're describing what people are really trying to do. They're yeah. trying to build an earth. They're trying to build a, you know, a human city
mm-hmm.
Of self-righteousness, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and it's not reliant on God at all. It's not relying on the favor and grace that God gives us through his son, Jesus Christ. But it's more or less, you know, dependent upon our own efforts.
Yeah.
Our own ability to, you know, to become almost like I'm going to become a superior person.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, that's where all this leads to.
Right.
And it really leads to a big place of pride.
Yes.
Because I can do this and I have the ability to do this and man, I'm going to feel great about myself.
It's kind of like the Tower of Babel.
I was thinking about yeah. that when you were talking, like we're building a modern day
Tower
of Babel.
We will make our own society.
Yeah.
And as we were talking, we were joking about carbon footprint. You know, if we yeah. make enough rules and regulations and things, everything, we can make life better.
Yeah.
And as before we go on, we should take care of the environment. We should, you know, if you start throwing soda cans out the window of your car and, you know, start yeah, throwing your McDonald's bags in the middle of the park, I mean, you know what? I'm not yeah. suggesting that we do that. But we can't fix the problems of humanity by making more and more rules.
Yeah.
Because our human nature can't be regulated like that.
Right. And, you know, if you subscribe to that and you really want everybody to give up all the modern conveniences of life.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the first person that wants to do that? Because yeah. if you really look at it, you got to get rid of all the cars.
Right.
You got to get rid of all the power. You got to get rid of all the modern technology mm-hmm. and advancements that have made our life that we can yeah. even do what we do today.
You mean Al Gore won't want to do it?
I don't know. I don't know if he would be the first one in line to step up and like give up his plane or
in his 25,000 yeah. square foot house.
Yeah. You know, those are the realities. It's nice. It's easy to talk about it. But when you actually have to act upon it.
Yeah.
And then live it.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you really come into a conflict with, oh, well, I don't want to be the one to give up my vehicle because that I would have to walk everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give up my house because then I would have to go live in a cave. What do you mean I can't have running water? Mm-hmm. What do you mean I have to take a cold shower? Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot of nice ideological thinking.
Sure.
Without really, well, if we didn't have this, what would it be like? Because when you're in an environment, that's all you know.
Yeah.
And when you think the environment isn't that good and that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gosh, if we didn't have all this stuff and gosh, our air is dirty, our water is dirty, blah, blah. Well, when a volcano goes off and the earth shoots, plumes of smoke into the atmosphere and there's enough of it, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It blots out it covers enough of the atmosphere that you're going to get a mini ice age.
Yeah.
Nature does it by itself. When there's a forest fire and it burns, acres, thousands of acres, and there's all this smoke that goes up into the air, it's a natural thing. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened for millennia.
Yeah.
So, it's something that until you experience the other side of it, you really don't have a full understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I always think back to is in proclaiming God's word, I'm on the other side of that mm-hmm. because I used to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think like that. I used to talk like that. I used to act like that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to justify everything that I did as being okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any sin in me.
Right.
I can't be bad. I'm not hurting anybody.
I'm a lot better than that guy over there.
How did you know that? How did you know I said that? But until I had that encounter with Jesus Christ, I didn't understand how foolish I was being.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean very foolish.
That's right.
Foolish.
But then
enough,
you come to a realization of what you really are.
Yeah. Foolish enough to walk out into the Gulf of Cancun not knowing how to swim.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great story.
So it's when people hear us proclaiming the gospel, sometimes they can think, oh, well, you got to get with it. No, I've been over there.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's nothing that I left behind that was worth anything.
Like because Philippians 3.
Right. With that, because outside of Christ, it's
all
worthless.
Rubbish.
It's all rubbish.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many people that come to my office and go, I mean, aren't you kind of like getting carried away with this Jesus thing? Aren't you getting kind of carried away? Why can't you go to church on Sunday morning like a normal person? Why do you have to do all this other stuff?
Yeah.
Interestingly, as you were talking, I was thinking about like all the people in the entertainment industry and all these like billionaires that get into these like socialistic Marxist ideas. And they've got hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. It's like, well, they give your money away.
Yeah.
Nobody's telling you can't do it.
Yeah.
But they want everybody else to do it.
Exactly.
But they don't give their money away.
Exactly.
And the point of all of this is Romans chapter 1, and you can read this for your homework, it's verses 18 to 32, which is basically the second half of the chapter. Paul says, we profess ourselves to be wise, then we become fools.
Yeah.
These people who, and we have done this. Our culture has done this. We're a little bit behind Europe. Europe did it first, but we've caught up pretty quickly. We've moved God out of the society. We've moved him out to the horizon somewhere to, you know, whatever your concept of God is, you can have, and you can, up until now at least, you can have your church services if you want, as long as you keep them in that building. And then you can do whatever you want in your church building, but yeah. don't be talking about that out here.
Yeah.
Because after all, we're going to decide how we're going to live. So yeah. we've moved him out to the horizon and even beyond the horizon. And we've basically asked him to leave our culture, to leave our society.
Yep.
And when, you know, I know a couple of people that I know personally that are very, very liberal and they work for the federal government. And I tell them, why don't you work Christmas Day? I said, you know, the government is secular. There's a separation of church and state. Why should you have Christmas Day off? You should be working. But anyway, you don't like
that's,
that.
That's an interesting conversation.
Yeah. But, you know, we want him out of the society. Yeah. And when we get into the fundamental things of human existence, we're regulating that.
Yeah.
We'll decide who's going to be born. We'll decide yeah. who has the right to be born and who doesn't. After mm-hmm. all, it's a woman's right to choose. After yeah. all, that can't be restricted.
Right.
And I'm not a lawyer, thank God, and I'll never let a lawyer in my house. But, you know, I can't speak about the law, about legal history, but it seems to me like when it comes to abortion, quote, rights, unquote, the law's been just twisted around in all kind of ways.
Yeah. Well, when you move or push God out of the way, the first thing to go is truth.
Yes.
And now you have relativism.
Right.
Because now I can make the truth what I want.
Right.
Because it's relative to me.
That's right.
And now I can even question my own physical identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be something else other than what he created me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can choose whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can choose what's right and wrong. And thus, what you have is what Paul talks about what is right will become wrong, and what was wrong will become right.
Yeah.
It's the fulfillment of that prophecy.
Isaiah 5. Exactly. Isaiah 5,
yeah. So that's exactly what we're living in.
Right.
We're seeing it happen before our eyes. You know, we live in a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah,
yeah.
but when you say that, people yeah. go, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's open your eyes and look.
Yeah.
Open your eyes and look.
Yeah. And it even has come to, you know, not only will we decide who's going to be born, but we're going to decide when people are going to be conceived.
Yeah.
I mean, until the modern time, every Christian denomination was against artificial contraception.
Yeah.
Now almost all of them say, well, what are you going to do? It's okay. Oh, it's a break already.
Yeah.
Anyway, check out GetsOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll pick up on that.
Let's go. To bring light into the darkness, he has come. To bring freedom to the captives, he has come. To restore the brokenhearted, it's time to proclaim the year of the Lord.
Prepare the way. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. But before the song came on, every Christian denomination had been against artificial contraception.
Yes.
With the idea being that God is the author of life.
Mm-hmm.
God has chosen to use a man and a woman's intimate relationship to be involved in
to bring forth life,
bringing another human being into the world.
Yeah.
And now we decide, even people who are devout Christians, even people that say, well, you know, I'm going to pray about which car to buy, and I'm going to pray about what color to paint my house, and I'm going to pray about whether I should park here or over there, say, well, we'll pray about everything, but we'll decide when we're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
That's not consistent.
Yeah.
So it's gone into all of these things.
Yeah.
And people say, well, I can't afford a child. Well, I can't do that now. So they then decide who's going to be born.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was having breakfast with Pastor Dan on Friday morning, and we were talking about that. And we both came to the conclusion of, look, how many of these babies that have been aborted since 1973 could have been famous scientists, artists, musicians, you know, somebody who was going to cure cancer, someone who was going to, you know, accomplish some unbelievable thing, that's what they were meant to do, but they were aborted before mm-hmm. they were born. Because not only do we decide who lives, we started out, and I was around in 1973. I was already, you know, graduated from college in 1973.
Yeah.
But the thing was then, you know, the first trimester, because we don't know when life begins. But the first trimester, you know, we don't know if that's really a baby or not. After that, I don't know. Well, now it doesn't matter because now we have late-term abortion.
Yeah.
We have people that say, well, you know, after the baby's born, you say, well, you know, this isn't what we had in mind. So, you know, we don't want this baby.
Mm-hmm.
Cries too much at night. You know, he doesn't have the right kind of hair.
Yeah.
You know, his eyes are the wrong color. I mean, whatever it is, we were really hoping for a girl. But And then, of course, we take it to the other end of the spectrum where we have euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many countries now, the Netherlands, Belgium, have assisted suicide.
Yeah.
Some of the states, California, Oregon, assisted suicide. So you go to your doctor and say, you know what? I'm sick. I don't want to live anymore. And he says, no problem. Here, take five of these. And, you know, it's euthanasia. We put people out of their misery.
Yeah.
And what's the logical extent of this? In the future, if this goes unchecked, which it won't, they'll come to the point where, okay, well, if you're 75 years old, we think that's kind of long enough to live. So, you know, report to the center.
You know, people are just, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, if you talk about the Holocaust with them, oh, we'll never let that happen again.
Mm-hmm. No.
Want to bet?
Yeah. We've had
Want to bet?
The silent Holocaust going on.
Yeah. The martyring of all the Christians being beheaded that the
yes.
church does not speak about.
That's right.
They'll talk about a refugee coming into the country illegally.
Yes. Yeah.
But talk about a brother or sister in the Lord who's just been beheaded in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Not a word.
That's right.
So where is the church?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the voice of the church? Where is the voice of the church on all those babies, the slaughter of the innocents, that is happening?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to ruffle the collection basket?
Yeah. You hardly ever hear it mentioned.
Nope.
And
if the church is not going to stand up and stand for truth, then it loses its relevance in society.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what it has done.
It's like when we talked about the two vineyards that are mentioned in Isaiah and then in Matthew, you know, there's walls up around the vineyard because
mm-hmm.
the chosen people and then later the church were supposed to be different than the world.
Exactly.
But now we want to be just like the world.
God chose the nation of Israel to be a light to the nations.
Yes.
And when they didn't do that, it's going to be taken from you and given to another to produce a harvest.
Yes.
Worthy of the kingdom.
I think we have a YouTube on that.
I think we do. And, we'll have to advertise our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's brand new.
Yeah. If you go to giftofgraceministries.org, we really need to put it on the One in Messiah one too.
Yeah.
But the giftofgraceministries.org, you'll see a YouTube connection and
on the homepage.
There's not much on it yet.
There's a video of Phil teaching. It's a good teaching too. So we're on the cutting edge of technology here at the Gift of Grace Ministries.
I never really successfully made a CD, but do people still make CDs? No, probably not.
No, I think they just download everything to a flash drive.
Oh, man.
By Bluetooth.
Oh, that's easier, though.
By Bluetooth technology. But anyway.
But, you know, this is, and now we've seen it in the last not too many years extend into marriage,
mm-hmm.
extend into gender, quote,
yeah.
Unquote.
Yep.
You know, Facebook once pointed out that there were, I forgot, 52 genders or something.
What?
I don't know. I mean, there's some ridiculous number of genders. And so I told my friends, you know, I'm so old fashioned that I think that there's two. I mean, since Adam and Eve.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody knew what marriage was. And since Adam and Eve, every time a human baby's been born, whether it was a doctor, a midwife, a family member, whoever was there when the baby was born said, it's a boy. It's a girl. Now what do they say? Well, this baby's here. They can decide for itself what it is. I mean, this is what we've come to.
Yeah.
Professing ourselves to be wise, we've become fools.
Yeah.
Lifestyles which are condemned in the scripture.
Yeah.
And it isn't just the homosexual lifestyle. It's sin of any kind.
Yeah.
That's a glaring one because now the society has embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's every sinful lifestyle. You know, in the province of Quebec in Canada, only 1/3 of people who are living in the same house and have a family are actually married. Now, this is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a place where, you know, 100% of the population would have said that they were Catholic
mm-hmm.
not too long ago.
Right.
Now, 2/3 of them live together and aren't married and have families.
Yeah.
This is how fast this is progressing. And now we have same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And not only do you have to tolerate it, but you have to accept it as being marriage. So, you know, and for you, Steve, since you do music at weddings and things, you know, if a gay couple comes to you and says, we're getting married, we'd like you to do the music, you have to kind of then face them and decide, like, what are you going to do? Say, well, I'm not going to do the music for your wedding. Then they turn around and they sue you because the society says they're getting married.
Let's go through the book of Genesis and let's talk about that. Let's see what the word has to say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many times marriage is talked about in the Old Testament, how many times Jesus quotes from Genesis, quotes from, says his own teaching, you know, a man leaves his father and his mother, mm-hmm. is joined to his wife, they become one flesh. And it's pretty clear what marriage is, but the problem that's going on now is we'll tolerate anything but Christ. We'll tolerate anything but what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tolerate anything but that. You can talk about Buddha, and everybody says, oh, it's so fascinating about Buddha. It's fascinating. You could talk about yoga, transcendental meditation. You can talk about any manner of New Age kooky stuff. You can talk about Earth Goddess. I mean, you can talk about any number of things. You can have the Dalai Lama on your TV show. And, oh, he's a man of peace. This is wonderful. Isn't this awesome? But you start talking about Jesus. We can't have that. We can't have that. It's anything but him. So this is demonic. This is a demonic attack. And it's the same deceit that started in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen. You can marry whoever you, hey, who, you know, who are they to say who you can marry? Who are they to say you guys can't live together for 50 years and not be married? Who are they to say whatever it is? Who are they to say whether you should have this baby or not? Who are that? Who's telling you this? You're the one that's in charge. They're telling you this because they don't want you to be happy. They want to keep you in bondage because, you know, after all, God's a cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want you to have any fun. He's supposed to run your life. That's why I don't want you to eat this apple, Eve. So come on, let's just do it.
Yeah, Satan always wants to tempt you.
Yes.
With doubt.
Yes.
Did God really mean that?
Yeah.
Well, God might have said that, but did he really mean that?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe there's a difference of interpretation in the translation from the original. Let's see, what language would God have spoken? Hebrew.
Hebrew.
Maybe there's a translation in, you know, from the Hebrew to whatever language you're speaking that, you know, the meaning kind of got changed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that that's what he meant?
Yeah.
Surely God didn't mean that.
Right.
Come on. You're that's smarter impossible. Than that.
Yeah. You haven't figured this
Listen
out
yet. Listen
how
bright you are. You're yes. a smart person. You God gave you a brain.
Yes.
Start using it.
Yep.
Think for yourself.
Yep. Yes. And yep. that same approach has been used since then.
Because it works.
It works.
Exactly. It works.
And he approaches each of you that way.
Yep.
And any, as I call them, any pipsqueak demon can, you know, come to you and say, oh, come on. You really believe, oh, come on. You think that's really going to, you know, look, this is going to be fun. Who cares what, how could, yeah. what could be wrong with this?
We, you know, when Jesus tells Peter, you know, Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Being a disciple, you know, last week we talked about discipleship. And being a disciple and, you know, and counting the cost of being a disciple and laying down your life and denying yourself, picking up your cross and following Jesus. Part of that includes being sifted like wheat.
Yes, exactly.
And being sifted like wheat is not a fun process.
Like pruning.
it's yeah, you could say that. You could say that it's like pruning. It's kind of like a compressed pruning.
Ooh.
Because how is wheat sifted? Through a millstone.
Yeah.
That wheat is crushed into it's pulverized into a powder. You know, so discipleship, you know, humanly speaking, it's not pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about being pleasant. Jesus didn't feel pleasant on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't feel pleasant when that first nail pierced his hand. You know, and when somebody says, oh, my guitar is, you know, it's heavy to carry. Seriously? He laid down his life for you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's your response?
Yes.
Oh, you know, it's really, you know, I got other things to do. Oh, man, you know, I don't want to give up all this comfort.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Is that the gratitude that's in my heart for what he's done for me?
Mm-hmm.
And see, the reason that the apostles and the disciples didn't deny him after he rose and they went to their deaths proclaiming the gospel is because they fully understood full well what he did for them.
Yes, exactly.
And they fully understood that to be a follower of Jesus Christ was to know and understand that they shared in the same anointing that came upon Christ in the Jordan
yeah.
when the Holy Spirit came upon him. The same power to raise the dead, the same power to heal the sick, the same power to give sight to the blind, the same power when Peter says, you know, I don't have gold or silver, but what I do have in the name mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ, get up and walk.
Yeah.
That same power is there today.
Mm-hmm. Same power.
That same power is there for us today. But people in the church squelched the Holy Spirit, just like the scoffers did at Pentecost.
Yes.
And that still goes on today.
Yes.
They want to gain knowledge about Jesus Christ, but they really don't want to get too close.
Right. They want to have a pleasant worship service.
Yeah.
Where everybody feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't talk about sin because that makes people feel bad.
Yeah.
And then they won't come back.
Yeah.
Or they'll feel like, oh man, these people are mean.
And if you do too much Holy Spirit stuff, well, gosh, that's kind of weird,
that's
you know?
That's kind of weird, yeah. Where is the church? You know, they're afraid. Well, partly too, the society has built a barrier around the church.
Yeah.
And made them say, you stay there and talk about your stuff. We don't want to hear it out here. And secondly, when you say something offensive, the church comes out and says, well, that's not really marriage. Well, this is not consistent with Judeo-Christian teaching, having abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want to hear that.
Right.
And even within the church, people in the church want to be liked. And plus, they want to keep their tax-exempt status. Because after all, you know, when the pastor or the priest or whoever it is, you know, when they die and they face their immediate judgment, whatever that, I forget what that's called, but when you face your immediate judgment right when you die, Jesus is going to say to them, you know, you did a terrific job on your tax exempt status. I figured it saved you probably, you know, $10,000 and that was great. I was really impressed how you did that. He's not going to care about your tax exempt status.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the Bible about tax exempt status.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be preaching the truth.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be showing people the truth. You're supposed to be guiding people how they should live their lives. And you're supposed to be teaching them God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a talk on a Sunday morning at a church where I said, you know, stand up in the pulpit, preach the truth and pay the tax.
Yeah.
Because that's what's important. Then afterwards, I had a couple people criticize me. Oh, you shouldn't have said that because, after all, people give money because they can tax deduct it from their. I said, well, if that's the only reason they're giving money, that, you know, that's a problem.
What they're failing to see is that it is handcuffed.
Yes,
that's a handcuff.
Exactly. So the government says you're going to lose your tax exempt status if you keep saying that.
Yeah. And it's not really a government problem. It's the problem of the person's heart because they're not generous.
That's right.
They're greedy.
But what we need to say as believers, we don't care about paying the tax. We need to preach the truth.
Yeah.
And so the church has gotten afraid. We don't want people to be upset. We don't want the government to be upset. So we better watch what we say. Let's just come in here, do our thing, stay the 57 minutes and then go home. Oh, it's a break already.
It is.
I'm just getting revved up. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Yes, you are come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Place, be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord.
clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I can't believe it's the last segment already.
I know, and that's an awesome song.
Yeah.
So what's this YouTube thing you're talking about?
Oh, well, so far there's only one thing on it.
One video?
Which was kind of a test video, but yeah. It worked out pretty well.
Worked out pretty good.
Yeah. So if you go to thegiftofgraceministries.org.
Website.
Homepage. On the homepage.
Yep.
Right under the banner.
Yep.
You'll find a link to the YouTube channel.
It's called One of Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries YouTube channel.
Yay.
Click on that. It'll take you right to the YouTube page. Click on the videos. You'll see the videos.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get back to the Gift of Grace site, our technical department set this up.
Ooh.
There's a link for the Gift of Grace Ministries website. So up in the upper right-hand corner.
Cool.
You click on that, it'll take you back to the website.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
It's easier than making a CD.
I tell you what, those guys in our technical department, they were working overtime to create all this. They did a great job.
I think they need a raise.
Yeah. Tell me about it. But anyway.
So the church doesn't want to get people upset, but you know, where's the outrage in the church? Where's the, you know, admonition of the sin? Where's the, we need to direct the society? We're supposed to be becoming more like Christ. We're not supposed to be becoming more like Satan. You know, when Jesus said, when they said to him, you know, hey, we're children of Abraham, he said, no, you're children of the devil because Satan's really your father.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing Abraham stuff. You're doing Satan stuff. You're planning to kill me. So that's a Satan thing, not an Abraham thing. So, And plus, where's the concern in the church about the salvation of these people?
Yeah.
I am always struck by the fact that so many of these liberal politicians that have brought some of this on, so many of them are members of the Catholic Church. And they, if you listen to interviews, they'll tell you, oh, yes, on Sunday, you know, I go to Mass and, you know, my kids go to the school and a bit. And they have promoted all these things.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, where's the priest at their church saying, excuse me, Congressman, could I have a word with you for a minute?
Yeah.
Because you should be concerned about this.
Yeah.
Promoting a public scandal and encouraging other people to sin.
Yeah.
This is a serious business. If I commit a private sin, you know, between me and God, I have to repent of that and I have to turn back and be restored.
Mm-hmm.
But if I encourage other people to commit the same sin that I'm committing, then that becomes what's called scandal because you're promoting this behavior. And we're supposed to be salt and light.
Yeah, I often wonder if Jesus himself came back and was talking to a congregation or to a church, or if John the Baptist was standing there before the congregation.
Would he have the same hair and clothes and stuff?
Probably.
Oh.
maybe a nice camel hair jacket. And he said, and he addressed the congregation just as he addressed the people coming to him. And, you know, maybe the religious leaders came to him that day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the delegation from, you know, a certain diocese came to him that day and said, you brood of vipers, who warned you of the coming wrath?
Yeah.
What would happen? Would they throw him out?
They'd throw him out.
If Jesus came and talked the way he talked and taught the way he taught with authority, would we recognize him?
Mm.
Would we even recognize him?
Mm.
Would the people in the church today recognize him? I have to wonder.
No.
Because we're not being a light to the nations. We're actually promoting darkness.
Yes.
We're actually covering up the light because our deeds are getting worse, and we don't want the light to shine on them.
Yes.
So we have a real serious, situation, a real serious issue or problem taking place in the church today, because the church has been influenced by the culture of the world instead of the church influencing the culture with truth. You know, when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, and Peter says, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God." Do we want the living God in our midst, or do we want some false pagan God?
Some dead God who won't bother us.
Exactly.
We'll make him in our own image, and then he won't bother us.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be salt and light.
Yep.
And, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, a lot of people quote, you know, you humble yourself, and they hear from heaven, and restore the land, and all that. But we don't hear that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many churches do you go into and say, today we're going to pray for the nation? I mean, like, for the whole 2 hours that we're here, we're going to pray for the nation.
Yeah.
Or on Friday night from 7 to 10, we're going to pray for the nation. Rarely do you hear that anymore.
Yeah.
Rarely. You know, we're supposed to be praying for the nation. There should be, that should be going on in every church, because we should be concerned. And the people that are concerned, you know, the we always called the remnant, because now we're down to a remnant.
Yeah.
The remnant has also been marginalized. The society doesn't want to hear about that. I mean, we're barely a factor. In fact, we're ridiculed. And if you watch the media and somebody talks about a faith-based organization, whether it's a church or a charity or what, they always use the term the right-wing Christian, the right-wing Christian. It's a drumbeat.
Yeah.
It's like when Joseph Goebbels used to say, it's all the Jews, it's all the Jews, it's all the Jews.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, if you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it. So people sit home and say, you know, those right-wing Christians, they're trying to take our fun away. Those right-wing, they're the ones standing in the way of us progressing.
Yeah. You know, when the term Christian was first used, it was slang. It wasn't a complimentary term that they were saying.
That's right.
Oh, look at those wonderful Christians. No, it was used as a derogatory term.
Yeah.
Look at those Christians.
Yeah.
You know, and so the same thing happens over and over in culture and society, because the devil is attacking the things of God. And yet we haven't really learned the lesson that no matter what generation it is, no matter what day or year it is, Satan's using the same tactics, the same, you know, the same things to persuade people to not follow the Lord.
Yes.
And the same tactics to degrade the things of God. You know, God offers life. He gave his law so that they would have, be in a right relationship with him.
Yeah.
So the law isn't a bad thing.
Right.
And it's not to keep you in bondage. It's actually to set you free.
Right. And then Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly.
Yeah. Through the Spirit.
Yes. Yes. And Satan always sets up that counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
God's the author of life, so Satan sets up abortion. We'll decide who's going to be born. Yeah.
Look at the sparkle and glitter here. Look at the freedom.
Yeah, look at the
freedom you have over here.
God sets up marriage. Satan sets up a counterfeit marriage. Yeah. Well, this is marriage too, you know. That's not just marriage. This is marriage too. And interestingly, you know, everything goes back to the garden. You know, Satan approaches Eve. He doesn't approach Adam, who's the spiritual head, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He approaches Eve. So he goes against the sort of natural order of things. And Adam is at big fault because he doesn't exercise his authority and say to the devil, hey, get out of here. Adam would have had the spiritual ability to cast Satan out of there. And he could have said to Eve, why are you listening to this? We listen to God and we know what he told us to do.
Yeah.
Why are you listening to a talking snake who's telling you to break God's rule? I can't believe the show's over already.
That time.
Oh, I'm just getting revved up. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would invite the Lord to come into your heart and to follow him unreservedly to be his disciple and to have life and have it more abundantly in Jesus Christ through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.